Well, boys and girls, it is great to be with you this evening for your enrollment service. It's lovely to be back in Kilkeel as well. I was starting to miss people here, and then came here and Dave gave me a massive hug and I realised why I left. But I'm back, and I was trying to count up today. Actually, I was a member of a boys' brigade back home, and I did 9 years, so 9 enrollment services. And I remember sitting here where you are now, stress of your mum and dad of trying to get you out on time, to find your BB shirt, to make sure it's ironed, to make sure your jumper still doesn't have the marks on it from football the night before. Dad used to do this thing every time I had a enrollment service. You'd do your tie. And Dad, when I was walking out the door, he used to pull my tie to what he thought was a more appropriate length of a tie. It was down to my knees. But thankfully now, as a mature adult, or semi-mature adult, he trusts me. But tonight we're not here to talk about my BB experiences and stories, which are many. We're here to learn something about Jesus, boys and girls. Something that you do, I'm sure, every week in BB and GB. And tonight, boys and girls, I want us, mums and dads and grannies and grandas, to look at the story that I'm sure you've heard before. It's the story of the prodigal son. And we read this story, and Jesus tells us this story in the book of Luke, chapter. And I'm going to read it to us now, okay? It's going to come up on screen, hopefully. I'm going to read the first couple of verses, and then we can read the rest of it together. So it starts in verse 1 like this. Now, tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man..." And then we'll jump down to verse 11, and it says this. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. He said, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he is him back safe and sound.' The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything that I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen. We thank God for his word. Boys and girls, I hope you listened really, really well to that. Because actually, I have a quiz for you tonight. And what we do back home when we have an aroma service and we have a quiz is that we have to give out sweets. So I went to the shop and I went and bought my favorite sweets. So I will happily eat all of these if I have to on the way home in the car. But these are my favorite sweets, okay? So we listen up to the story as we go through it again, okay? We're going to have a quiz halfway through and we'll see how well we've been listening. Is that okay? Yeah. Boys and girls, I have another important question for you tonight, okay? What is your favorite Disney film? Okay, I need some responses. Somebody stick a hand up. What's your favorite Disney film? Oh, it's hard. I know it's hard. What's your favorite Disney film? Go ahead. Mickey Mouse. Okay, yeah. Yep, there's one over here, yeah. Okay, yep, that one, yep. Yeah, one more here. Sorry, say that again. The Lion King. I am glad you said that. Because The Lion King is my favorite Disney film, boys and girls. I love it, okay? The songs are amazing. But really what I think I enjoy most about The Lion King is the story. You see, there's a real battle for power in it, isn't there? Everybody wants to be in power. There's a real want to be the boss of the kingdom. And so we meet these two brothers, Mufasa and Scar. Mufasa and then his son Simba, who's in the photo, are presented as these really good kings who think so highly and so well of the land, who care so well for all of the creatures, who want to see things grow, and they want to make sure that there's enough food in the land to feed all of the animals. But Scar is different. See, he wants all of the power for himself. He doesn't really care about the other animals. He just wants to be in control. And we'll see this tonight in tonight's story. And boys and girls, it's important that when we come to tonight's story, that we think about and we start by looking at who was it that Jesus was actually speaking to? Who was he telling this story to? Well, Luke tells us in the first couple of verses that I read that he was talking to tax collectors and sinners. And this is really, really important for us, boys and girls, because in the story that we're looking at, we see that Jesus didn't just come for good people. He came for bad people as well. You've maybe heard your mum or dad complain about having to pay taxes before. But taxes are used by the government to pay for schools and hospitals and all those other things that we need. You see, when Jesus was on earth, tax collectors were known to be really bad people. Not only did they take money for the government, but they took money for themselves. They took lots and lots of money for themselves. So people absolutely hated them. They were hated by society. And this is what we see in this story. That even before Jesus begins to speak, the Bible tells us that the religious leaders were talking amongst themselves. They were giving off that Jesus would even spend time with these people. Did he not know what tax collectors did? Did he not know how bad they were? Did he not even know that these people were sinners? These were the questions they were asking of him. But Jesus knew exactly who he was speaking to. He knew that he was seen by everyone, the really, really bad, but he knew that he also was surrounded by people who thought that they were really, really good. So it's the both groups of people that Jesus speaks to. And he tells them this story, okay? And the story is about a man, okay? And he wasn't just a normal man. This man was a very, very rich man. He was well thought of by everybody in the community. He was even a highly respected person as part of the religion of the society. But Jesus tells us a story about his two sons, okay? They're both very different. They both want different things. They're both in the need, end up needing the forgiveness of the Father. And both do stuff that they need to come and say sorry for. You see, we start the story by listening to Jesus tell us about the younger son, who's known as a little bit of a rebel, somebody who doesn't live by the rules. He seems to be a person who just cares about himself and what he wants and concerned about living however it is he pleases. In his head, boys and girls, it was all about him. You see, the story starts with him making a really, really shocking request, okay? He says, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. For us, that maybe doesn't seem like such a big deal. He was going to receive the money or whatever it was eventually. But actually, at that time, this is completely disrespectful. At that time, to make this request, while your father was still alive, was basically just wishing he was dead. He basically saying to the father that he wants and he cares more about what the father has and can give to him than that the father himself. He wants his stuff more than he wants him. But it's really important for us to note how the father responds. Does he disown the son? Does he chuck him out of the house in a rage? Does he tell him that he's really, really disappointed in him and for him to go to his room? No. He maintains his love for the son, even though he was bound to be heartbroken that the son would even make such a request. He gives the son his portion, even though he said he wished he was dead. So the younger son gathered all that he had, and he took it on a journey into a foreign country, into a different place. And there he went, and he wasted all his money, boys and girls, in what the Bible calls reckless living. The younger son went off, and he spent everything that he had on just having a good time and living the way he wanted to live. But eventually, boys and girls, the fun stopped for the younger son. He runs out of money, and all those people who had loved him when he was the big spender in town, they quickly ran to the next person and left him all by himself. And if things weren't bad enough for the younger son, a severe famine, so there was no food, hits, and the younger son has to look for a job in order to survive. But do you know what he ends up doing, boys and girls? He starts to feed pigs for a living. What a change from the nice life he had when he lived with his father. And so after time and time goes on, he's more and more tempted to eat the pig's food, and he gets no food of his own. The light bulb goes off in his head. And he thinks of his father's hired servants back home and how so much better off they were than he was. So he comes up with his master plan. He gets his thinking cap on about how he can go back to the father and ask him to make him one of his hired men again, to give him a job again. You see, he wanted to pay back his debt to the father. See, Luke tells us that he realizes how he has sinned against the father, how he says it himself in his speech. So he doesn't expect to be taken back as a son, because he knows what he said to the father. He had said some really, really hurtful things. But instead, he wants to work for the father so that he can repay him. He wants to give back some of the stuff that he took from the father. But how's the father going to respond? Well, verse 20 tells us, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Boys and girls, it's not really surprising for us tonight. It's not the reaction we expect from a person who said that they wished you were dead. But the father's love just overflows for the son. He was looking out for him. He was hoping that he would return. At that time, if you were a respected, highly thought of person in the community, you never ran anywhere. You would never dare lift your cloak up and sprint anywhere. But this father is so overwhelmed by his love for the son that he doesn't really care what the people are going to think. And he runs and he embraces his son again. And he gives the son back everything that he has again. The best robe, shoes on his feet, a ring on his finger. He threw a massive party and a celebration for the entire village. He killed the prize calf. That's how much he has for the son. He restores him to the position of son. Why? Well, boys and girls, it's because he loves him. And no matter how much he sinned against him, he still loves him. And boys and girls, you listen to stories about Jesus, I'm sure, all the time. And it's the same for us and the people that we're in class with and the families that we have and the people that we know. that no matter how bad that we think we are, no matter how much wrong stuff we do, the Bible tells us that God acts like this Father. He comes and he meets us with open arms. He forgives us, and we get to become part of his family again. Remember who Jesus is speaking to. He's speaking to the tax collectors and to the sinners, and he's telling them that no matter how much wrong that they have done, that they can still be forgiven if they turn their lives around. But I said at the start that there were two brothers, and we've only talked about one of them. So where's the older brother been this whole time? Well, he's been out working hard in the fields, like a proper Kilkeel man would, and he comes back to the party and wonders, what is going on? He hears all this music, he hears all this dancing, and he comes back and he finds a servant, and he asks him, what is happening? And the servant tells him that the younger brother has returned. So the father has killed the fattened calf and has thrown this party for him. But the older brother is furious. He is so angry at this. This is why he refuses to go into the feast and the celebration. He's all he can think about is how much this is costing. Not just the calf, but by bringing back the son, the father is giving him back half of the share of the property again, which the older brother thinks should be fully his. And like most of us, he doesn't really want to share his half with the younger brother again. You see, the elder son was prideful. He says, look at what I have done. I haven't run off and wasted all of your money like my brother. Instead, I've been a really, really good son. And I've worked really, really hard in the field. Boys and girls, he wanted to be recognized and rewarded for all of his good work. And the father leaves the party to come and to be with him and to talk with him. But boys and girls, it's no use. The older son is just too mad. He doesn't want to see why the father is happy for the younger son to have returned. And you see, boys and girls, Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders here. And they all believed that all they had to do was to live a good life. Living with strict obedience to what the Bible said and its law. They thought that would be enough. They thought, that's good enough. That's going to get us to heaven. But you see, just like the older brother, they point the blame and the finger and all of the world's problems on sinners. But they don't realize that they're just as bad. And it's important that we see that Jesus doesn't actually tell us in the story. It's nowhere in Luke 15. If the older brother ever actually goes back into the celebration. And I think this is done on purpose for us, boys and girls. Because it's meant to make us think. Are these religious leaders actually saved? You see, they try to earn the love of the Father. But Jesus tells us all the time in the Bible that we just can't do that. We're too bad to do that. We need Jesus to come and to save us. But we'll think about that a little bit more later on. Boys and girls, you have sat so well for so long. And I want us to think about this story more. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. And like school, I know school's tomorrow, but stick your hand up. I'll try to find you. And there's a sweet on the line if you get them right. Okay? So the question's going to come up on screen. I'm going to come out. Let me see if I can open these. I can. Yep. Okay, you ready? Okay. So question number one. What chapter in the book of Luke do we find the story of the prodigal son? Chapter, it's been on the screen for the past like 10 minutes. Yes. 15. Come on up, buddy. Come on up. There you go, man. Okay, question number two. Okay. Who was it that Jesus was talking to when he told them this story? Who was he speaking to? Yeah. Yeah, he was. Come on up. He's talking to the sinners and to the tax collectors. The religious leaders were there as well. Yep. Brilliant. Thank you. Waller. Okay, question number three. This is a wee easy one. How many sons did this man have? Yep. He had two. Come on, you up. Come on, you up. There you go, man. You can take them both. Okay, question number four. Okay. What did the younger son ask for of his father? Yep. Go ahead, one of you girls. Yep, go. He did. He asked for his share of the property. Yep. So half of everything that the father had, he asked for. Okay. There you go. All right. Okay, question number five. Where did the younger son go then after he got all of the money? Yep, you there. Third row back. Yep. Where did he go?
He went far away.
He did go far away. You come on ahead. Come on, you up. Good lad. It's the best answer so far. Okay. So he went far away. He took all the father's money. He went and he lived however he pleased. That wasn't even the question, did it? But he went, he lived however he pleased. He took all the stuff. But what job did he do then when the famine struck? Yes. He was feeding pigs. He was. Okay. So the father, okay, still sitting at home. He's sitting looking out for the son. He sees him. What does he do? When he sees the son coming to him from a distance, what does he do? He throws him a party. Yep, he runs after him. He throws him a party. Come on up. He gives him the best of everything again. He gives him sandals on his feet, a new robe, a ring on his finger. He gives him everything that he has. Okay. I think this could be my last question. Okay. So I'll have to give it a GB because that one was to a BB. Okay. So how did the older brother respond when he heard what the father did? Was he happy or was he really, really annoyed? Yeah, he was annoyed. He was indeed. He was very, very, very annoyed. Come on ahead. There you go. Okay. Great, boys and girls. There, you just listened so well to that story. Chris, can you give me a wee hand here for a wee second, mate? Boys and girls, I don't know about you, but one of my favourite things about this time of year, okay, is the build-up to Christmas, okay, right? I know all the parents in the crowd are sighing and giving off, okay? I didn't look this up, but I got told this morning in church that it's 11 weeks and 2 days to Christmas. Isn't that scary? But I love it. Boys, I'm just going to set these down, is that all right? I love the build-up to Christmas. I love all the presents. I love all the Christmas trees. I love all of that. I think that's great. Okay. Oh, give me 2 seconds here. Okay. But I think one of the things I look forward to most at Christmas is actually my Christmas dinner. I'll be honest, I'm a guy. I love my food. My Christmas dinner doesn't look like our Christmas dinner. And that's an M&S Christmas dinner, I think. But I love my Christmas dinner. I love being able to sit with my family all around me. I love being able to give thanks to God for another year of His goodness and His mercy to us. And then I love the stage where you just get to fill your face with turkey and ham for the rest of the day. But boys and girls, as we think of this story, I want us to think about the great party thrown. And who was at it? So we start here. Seat of the younger son. And we have to remember how he chooses to want to have a good life. He didn't really think about other people. He didn't really consider how they would feel. He didn't think about how hurt he would make the father when he asked for his share. And he cared more about what the father had than the actual father himself. For the younger son, it was all about him. And so he removes himself from the table. And as he tries to live a good life, as he tries to enjoy himself, and he goes after the things of this world, and this is how the younger son removes himself from the table. And then, boys and girls, we come to the right hand of the father, who sits at the head of the table here, to the older son. He was the hard-working one, wasn't he? He was the one who never disrespected his father. He's the one who never went out and spent all the father's money. He thought he was the much better son. Maybe some of us agree with him. But you see, that son thought that working hard and being good was all it took to earn the love of the father. He wanted to earn it, to become something that is of worth because of what he can do and is doing. You see, boys and girls, the older son removes himself from the table because he thinks that he's already good enough and he doesn't need the love of the father anymore. Then, boys and girls, we come to the head of the table. This is where the father sits. And what a poor father he is. Imagine how sad he must feel right now because of the actions of his two sons. He has one son on his left who's ran off and spent all of his money, money that he earned, money that he worked for, on stuff that this world offers. A son that said he wished he was dead, who cared more about stuff that he had than actually cared about him. A son that was more interested in living a good life for a short time than loving his own father. And then you have another son on his right-hand side who's unwilling to come into the party at all. Who's so annoyed that you would even dare, how dare you welcome back your own son back into your family. That's what he's thinking. He thinks he deserves more than what you've given him. But boys and girls, what does the father do? He leaves the table himself. He leaves all that he has. He doesn't care about what that stuff is. And the father, instead of being annoyed and angry with the younger son, he runs to him. He sits and he looks out for him to come back. And when he sees him in the distance, he runs after him. He sprints. He lifts up his cloak and he sprints to embrace him and to love him and to give him a kiss. He tells him time and time again that he loves him. He gives him the best robe. He gives him a new ring. He gives him new shoes. He throws this massive party for him. Why? Because he loves him. He is so, so happy that this son has returned to him. But the father loves the older son as well. He leaves the party for the younger son. He leaves all the guests and he goes out to the field to talk to him. He goes out to explain to the younger son why it is that he's thrown this party. The great news that this brother has returned and that he's back. As we read in the Bible, he says these words, "For the brother was once dead, but now is alive, was lost and now is found." But the older brother didn't care. And we're never told if he actually does come back to the table. We don't know if he ever comes back to the father. We don't know if he ever says he's sorry. But the younger son, however, well, the party was for him. He had come back. He had been forgiven of all of his sin. He had accepted the father's love, even though he knew he didn't deserve it. Well, the party was for him. And boys and girls, the Bible talks about that when we come to Jesus, when we say we're sorry, when we accept what he's done for us, when we make him the king of our lives, we're told that there's a party in heaven. And boys and girls, we're told also that one day when we die, when Jesus comes back, that we will take part in the greatest feast that there has ever been, better than any Christmas dinner. And so, boys and girls, mums and dads, grannies and grandas, my question as we finish tonight is this. Do we have a seat at the table? Have we come to Jesus and asked him to forgive us? Have we accepted what he has done for us on the cross? Do we know for sure that we will be with him in heaven? And if the answer to that question is no, then I would really, really encourage you to speak to somebody tonight about that, to speak to a leader or to Stephen or to an elder or somebody you just know to be a Christian. Please don't leave tonight without having that conversation. I didn't know what was going to be read earlier, but as was read earlier, many are invited to the great feast, but many make excuses. Tonight I plead with you, please stop making excuses and please come and take a seat at the table. Let's bow our heads as I'll pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for Jesus. God, we thank you for this story. And Father, we thank you that no matter how much wrong that we do, God, no matter what age we are, no matter if we're a boy or girl or a granny or granda, that God, you love us and that you sent your son to die for us so that we can be forgiven. Father, we pray that you'll help us to understand that more and more. Father, we pray that you will help us to follow you. Father, we love you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.